I want you to pray for me today because I'm bearing a heavy message on my heart on this particular second part of our series, working our way to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to speak this morning on a subject entitled The Silent Praise of the Church. Today, watching us and listening to us praise God, worshiping Jesus Christ, arms up, tears rolling down the face. And you could see that people were just loving Jesus. And that's what praise is all about. But there's a silence that has gone across this nation of the United States where praise isn't as great as it used to be. Worship isn't as dynamic as it should be. Well, I looked at the Florida camp meeting, 1997, a 3-minute video. And I told my wife, my God, if we could ever get there again. People just praising God as loud as they could. Choirs singing, recognition of God. But I want to take you to a text right now in Matthew 21, 1 through 11. And I want you to hear what I have to say here. And then we're going to take just verse 10 as our text. But I want to read the whole to you. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied in a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the ground. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up by saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This is a powerful scripture filled with truth and comparison to as what the people did when they came to worship Jesus. They shouted. They were glad. They were happy. They weren't ashamed to worship him publicly, in outward or outside arenas or along the roadsides. They were thankful that he was coming. And they were so happy that they spread out cloaks and palm branches, placed them along the road. They took off their cloaks. That was a very important part of them, the cloak that they wore. It was like designer clothes to us today. You know, it was somebody had on their, really great designer jacket or sweater or coat or something of sort. They would take it off and just throw it out there. Jesus was going to ride a donkey, a colt, never ridden by anybody before. Jesus was the first to ever ride this donkey, this colt. And they spread that out on the dirty ground and put palm branches and some wave palm branches, praising him and worshiping him. They began to sing and praise him for all that they had heard. Everything they ever heard of Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Do you have time today to tell me, to tell one that you're sitting next to or across the church what you have heard of Jesus? I think we'd be here a long time. The Bible even says if everything was written down what Jesus did, the earth could not contain the books. And they were so excited that he was coming, and they were so happy, and some of them have seen things. Lazarus was there that day. They wanted to see this man that was dead, without breath, without life, on his fourth day, in a tomb, closed up, in the dark, wrapped in death clothes. By a word that Jesus said, by a word that he said, after he wept, after he went through ridicule, after he was challenged, why didn't you show up? You see, sometimes we think Jesus needs to be there at a certain time, but he knows the best time to be there. Do you mind if I preach a little bit? He'll be literally right there. He will always be there, even if your hope seems dead, wrapped in death clothes, you're wrapped around your hope, it's over, it's never going to happen. And Jesus all of a sudden shows up and he speaks. And life comes back to that hope. Lazarus walked out alive. And he was there. Maybe they all were coming to see what Jesus had done with Lazarus. Maybe there were people there that had been healed by him, had been touched by him, blinded eyes that were opened, deaf ears that heard, the lame, the halt, stood and walked and leaped. The paralytic could move. Maybe the man that was there that was dropped through the roof of the thatched roof where everybody was around and Jesus was inside and they couldn't get through the door and they climbed to the top. Oh, what faith they had to get someone to Jesus who was ill and who could not get off his bed. And Jesus not only healed him, but he forgave him of his sin. Maybe he was there. But most of all, Jesus was there. And the city was stirred because of his presence. Praise and testimony about Jesus were going through the crowds. This Jesus is coming through the town. Somebody said, who is this? Who is this person? And they began to tell them what he did. And there's Lazarus. And there's my friend. He was blind. Oh my God, all the beauty that was happening. And Mary Magdalene might have been there and said, yes, I was a prostitute. I was full of demon spirits. But now I'm delivered and I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. They were excited. And I believe the church needs to get back as they're driving to their local church and to their auditoriums and their places of worship. They need to realize that the one that they're going to worship is the one that has saved their soul. The one that has filled them with the Holy Ghost and power. The one who has healed them. I've been healed. I know what it is to be healed. I know what it is to have Jesus touch my body and whatever was there was gone, amen, and it's never returned. I know what it is to know and see people healed. I know what it is to lay hands on a young 12-year-old boy who was going in for open heart surgery and he was healed. And the surgeons looked before they went in and said, there's nothing wrong. It's a completely brand new heart. I know what it is to pray a prayer over the phone to a lady that had a blockage in her basilar artery going up into her brain. And they said it's the most dangerous surgery we can ever do. If we do this, there's a great percentage, about 90%, that she will die. We prayed over the phone in the name of Jesus. Put your hand across heaven. Put your finger on that blockage. Dissolve it, God, and put it into sand and let it go through her bloodstream and out her body.
And the surgeon said, let's take a look to know where we need to cut. And they took a shot through the scanning and they said, it's gone. What has happened? This went across CBN. It went across Christian Broadcasting Network. They went on there and told everything. Let me tell you something. I know what it is for Jesus to touch a life. And they begin to see. They begin to walk. They begin, their knees begin to be healed. I know what it is where people could not stand, but now they stand. Let me tell you, there's a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory we've come to worship today. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a great day that would have been. Oh, I will say this by faith. What a great day it'll be when we walk with Him in heaven.
Amen.
What a great day it'll be when we walk with Him down the streets of gold.
Yes.
There is a mansion waiting for each and every one of us. There are streets of gold. There is glory. There is something going to happen one day. A great shout is going to come out of heaven. And trumpets are going to sound. And Jesus is going to walk across the starry staircase as stars bow to worship Him. And planets withdraw themselves. And He comes to the earth. And He calls us forward, praise God, to come home. Amen.
Yeah.
That's the one we praise. That's the one we look for. Three words we need to address here. Three words. But before I address them, I want you to hear something that's really important. In Luke 19, 39 and 40, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out."
If the church is not going to praise, the chairs will.
Yes, right.
If the church is not going to praise, the curbs and the sidewalks will. The stucco will. The roof will. The steeple will. God will deserve and will always get the praise that He deserves.
Amen.
We need to praise. We need to praise with a voice that 'll touch heaven when we praise. A voice that 'll shake the roof when we praise. A voice that 'll say, God, I love You. No matter what I'm going through, expression is the first word. Expression. The second word is identity. The third word is reaction. Let's look at the first word, expression. The people to praise with a loud voice, they expressed something. They said, Hosanna, to express adoration, praise, and joy. Hosanna means God, save us.
Amen.
Hosanna in the highest. They expressed themselves. They just weren't silent. You know, people say, well, the people over in Jerusalem and in the Far East over there, they are so boisterous and so verbal. And expressive. We're not like that in America. You know what? I got an answer for that. We need to be like that in America.
Amen.
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 I went on Periscope yesterday into South America. I didn't understand a word they were saying, I will tell you right now. It was in South America, but they said they had a prophetic dancer on at their huge convention. So I went on there and I watched this prophetic dancer and the music there. I didn't understand what she was singing, what the music said, but I understood the movements of her body as she praised God and worshiped the Lord.
all by herself up there before 2,000-3,000 people. She just prophetically danced before the crowd. And I thought how wonderful it is to see someone dance before the Lord. To praise Him with a dance. To praise Him with a prophetic dance. To give praise and honor to a King that has saved her. Amen. What is your praise for today? What can you praise the Lord for today? And how can you praise Him in your heart? The second word, they identified with Jesus. You see, I think that's the failure. If there's a failure today, is people don't know how to identify with Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus is God's only begotten Son. He's the Savior of the world. But like that last song by Carrie Joby, to draw close to you, to lean on your shoulder, and to feel your breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To know that Jesus will allow us by His love and mercy and grace that we can come and sit at His feet and listen to His word and listen to what He has to say to us personally. To know that He cares for us and He loves us beyond our capabilities of understanding that love. But friend of mine, He does love you. He cares for you. He died for you. He rose for you. He blesses you. He provides for you. He takes care of you. He meets all your need because He is the Son of the living God. And He will fulfill everything you need in this life and for the life to come. Amen. Amen. Someone praise Him for a minute. Have we gotten so far away from our saving day? Have we gotten so far away from the day that He came into our life? How, when He delivered us? I don't know, maybe it's not meaningful to some, but I'll tell you it's meaningful to me.
Yes.
To be saved.
Yes.
To know that whatever I had done in my life, He forgave me.
Amen.
He set me free. And I don't have to think about it anymore. Now the enemy comes along and tries to remind you of the things that you once did. He tries to raise up things in your life to tempt you to be involved with the things that you once did. But He has no victory over you because you have Jesus Christ living in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
You are free to praise Him.
Right.
The third word is reaction. The religious factors always seek Him deliberately to stop praise. You know, I believe the church today is full of religious factors. They don't know how to smile. They know how to dress. They know how to be on time. They know how to pay their tithe. They let a pastor know it. Look at me. I paid my tithe. Praise God. So did I. Amen. Now that we got that over with, how do you feel about Jesus? Church, praising is a good thing. Praising brings life into our spirit. Praising helps us. Praising gives us a strength that we receive to break chains off.
Amen.
Often people come into church bound by their chains and they are comfortable with that. Chains will stop your praise, but praise will break your chains. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the name of the Lord. It'll break your chains. I always tell people this, and when I preach revivals for a lot of years, if you got a problem that's really big, leave it at the door. Come in, praise God, hear the word, go to the altar, get prayed for, and when you leave, if that problem is still there, don't pick it up, leave it there. Walk by it. But I've seen so many people stop at the door and pick up that old problem and throw it on their back as a burden and carry it home with them. We don't need to have chains keeping us back from praising God. We need to let our chains be broken and let them become part of our life and let them become who we are and let them know that, a beautiful part about Him. The same people that were praising Him that day, they were letting their chains get broken off. A few days later, they were screaming, "Crucify Him," because they did not really get convicted in who He was. They knew who He was, but they didn't know Him. They knew of Him, but they didn't know Him by the power of His anointing and saving grace. And so they were persuaded. Church, I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge everybody that listens to this message across this nation, throughout this world. Let me tell you something right now. Don't get coaxed or persuaded by sinners and those that don't know Jesus. Listen, you listen to me clearly. Please go ahead, read the Word, seek God daily, and let the Holy Ghost of the living God, He'll persuade you into the knowledge of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. You see, some folks just want to keep controlling. When you get saved, you give all control over to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. All control goes to the Lamb of God. Control in your relationships. Control in your families. Control in your ministries. Control in your life. See, don't be persuaded in things of controlling spirits, but be persuaded by the Word of God and who Jesus Christ is. Have an expression. Look at His identity. And don't listen to the reactions of the lost and the people who don't care who Jesus is, who wants to silence praise.
Yes.
Praise Him.
Yes.
Praise Him.
Yes.
Praise Him with all your heart and your soul, your mind and your strength. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. Here we are, the 21st century, wondering how we should praise and worship. How should we? I'll say this, praise Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Don't ever be embarrassed to praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Him with all your heart. Praise Him with your lips. Praise Him with your tongue. Praise Him with your mind. Praise Him for the little things you have. And praise Him for the great things you have. Praise Him for all things. Amen.
Yes.
He deserves our praise every time we walk into this church. Whether we have a full accompaniment or whether we're doing digital, whatever it may be, we need to praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. That when we know we have praised the Lord our God forevermore. I wonder, are we wondering what our expression should be? What do we want to identify with? At the beginning of the message, they were wanting to identify with the healed man, Lazarus. If that's what it's going to take you to realize what Jesus does to make you praise, then praise Him. Not the man, but praise the God who healed him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him for all things. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the evening. Praise Him all day long. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What is the reaction to the scoffers and the criticizers of this day? Simply this. Be quiet. I'm praising God. Why don't you join with me? Why don't you join with me? Take my hand and let's praise God together. Because your words are not going to stop me from praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Let me tell you something. We can praise a king. We can praise the Lord of Glory. We can praise Him for what He does. We can praise Him for who He is. We can praise Him for what He's going to do. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Praise the Lord with me this morning. Praise the Lord with me.
I wonder if there's praise left in the heart of the churches across America. Is there still a sound of worship on their lips? Is there a shout left in their being? Who is this? Who is he? He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. Revelations 21 and 6. The bread of life, the one essential food. John 6, 35. The chief cornerstone, a sure foundation of life. Ephesians 2, 20. The chief shepherd gives guidance and protection. 1 Peter 5 and 4. Christ, the anointed one of God, foreseen by Old Testament prophets. Matthew 16 and 16. The firstborn from the dead leads us into resurrection. Colossians 1, 18. The good shepherd gives guidance and protection. John 10 and 11. The high priest, the perfect mediator. Hebrews 3 and 1. Holy One of God, the perfect and sinless. Mark 1 and 24. Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1 and 23. Jesus, his personal name, meaning Yahweh saves. Matthew 1 and 21. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Sovereignty Almighty. Reverends 19 and 16. Revelations 19 and 16, the Lamb of God offered his life as a sacrifice for sins. John 1, 29, the light of the world, one who brings hope and gives guidance. John 9 and 5, the Lord, the sovereign creator and the redeemer. Romans 10, 9, the Lord of glory, the power of the living God. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8, the mediator, the redeemer who brings forgiven sinners into the presence of God. 1 Timothy 2, 5, the prophet. One who speaks for God, Luke 13, 33, rabbi, teacher, a title of respect for one who taught the scriptures, John 3 and 2, Savior, one who delivers from sin, John 4 and 42, the Son of David, one who brings in the kingdom, Matthew 9 and 27, the Son of God, a title of deity signifying Jesus' unique and special intimacy with the Father, John 20 and 21, Son of Man, a divine title of suffering and exaltation. Matthew 20, 28. The Word, the eternal God who ultimately reveals God. John 1, 1. That's who we praise every day when we worship. That's who we praise. Would you stand with me today?